Osho is a contemporary mystic whose insight, compassion, and humor have touched the lives of millions of people around the world. The following selection of talks on meditation were recorded live at Osho Commune International in Pune, India. In the first selection, Osho responds to the question, "What is meditation?"
Meditation is a state of no mind. Meditation is a state of pure consciousness with no content. Ordinarily, your consciousness is too much full of rubbish, just like a mirror covered with dust. The mind is in a constant traffic. Thoughts are moving, desires are moving, memories are moving, ambitions are moving. It is a constant traffic, day in, day out. Even when you are asleep, the mind is functioning. It is dreaming. It is still thinking. It is still in worries and anxieties. It is preparing for the other day. An underground preparation is going on. This is the state of no meditation. Just the opposite is meditation. When there is no traffic and thinking has ceased, no thought moves, no desire stirs, you are utterly silent. That silence is meditation. And in that silence, truth is known, and never otherwise. Meditation is a state of no mind. And you cannot find meditation through the mind, because mind will perpetuate itself. You can find meditation only by putting the mind aside, by being cool, indifferent, unidentified with the mind, by seeing the mind pass but not getting identified with it, not thinking that I am it. Meditation is the awareness that I am not the mind. When the awareness goes deeper and deeper in you, slowly, slowly, few moments arrive. Moments of silence. Moments of pure space. Moments of transparency. Moments when nothing stirs in you and everything is still. In those still moments, you will know who you are, and you will know what is the mystery of this existence. And once you have tasted those few dew drops of nectar, great longing will arise in you to go deeper and deeper into it. unresistible longing will arise in you, a great thirst. You will become a fire. That's what sannyas is all about. When you have tasted few moments of silence, of joy, of meditativeness, you would like this state to become your constant state, a continuum. The desire to make meditation your whole life style is what sannyas is all about. And if few moments are possible, then there is no problem. Slowly, slowly, more and more moments will be coming. As you will become skillful, as you will learn the knack of not getting involved into the mind, as you will learn the art of remaining aloof, away from the mind, as you will learn the science of creating a distance between you and your own thoughts, more and more meditation will be souring on you. And the more it sours, the more it transforms you. A day comes, a day of great blessings, when meditation becomes your natural state. Mind is something unnatural. It never becomes your natural state. But meditation is a natural state which we have lost. It is a paradise lost, but the paradise can be regained. Look into the child's eyes. Look, and you will see tremendous silence, innocence. Each child comes with a meditative state, but he has to be initiated into the ways of the society. He has to be taught how to think, how to calculate, how to reason, how to argue. He has to be taught words, language, concepts, and slowly, slowly, he loses contact with his own innocence. He becomes contaminated, polluted by the society. He becomes an efficient mechanism. He is no more a man. All that is needed is to regain that space again. You had known it before. So when for the first time you will know meditation, you will be surprised. Because a great feeling will arise in you as if you have known it before. And that feeling is true. You have known it before. You have forgotten. The diamond is lost into piles of rubbish. But if you can uncover, you will find the diamond again. It is yours. It cannot really be lost, it can only be forgotten. We are born as meditators, then we learn the ways of the mind. But our real nature remains hidden somewhere deep down, like an undercurrent. Any day, a little digging, and you will find the source is still flowing. The source of fresh waters. And the greatest joy in life is to find it. Meditation is the recognition that there is an inner world too, and I have to search for it. Mind is focused on some goal, some object. Meditation is the search to know the pure longing. Not the object, but the longing for the object. What is this longing in me that wants to have great money, that wants to have great power, that wants to become famous? What is this longing in me? Who is this longing in me? What is its nature? to know this longing is meditation, and to know it in its purity is to know God. Longing without any content, pure longing, just the flame without any smoke, is God. Meditation brings you to God because it brings you to your innermost core. And when you start moving inwards, the circle is complete. You become mature only when meditation has started. Otherwise, you remain childish. Your toys may go on changing. Small children are playing with small toys, and big children, aged children, elderly children are playing with big toys. But there is no qualitative difference. You can see, sometimes your child will do it. He will stand on the table when you are sitting by the side on the chair, and he will say, "Look, Daddy, I am bigger than you." He is standing higher on the table, and he says, "Look, I am bigger than you." And you laugh at him, but what you are doing? When you have more money, just watch how you walk. You are saying to all the neighbors, "Look, I am bigger than you." Or when you become a president of a country, or a prime minister, look how you walk. With what haughtiness, with what ego, you are telling to everybody, "I have defeated you all. I am sitting on the biggest chair." These are the same games. From your childhood to your old age, you go on playing the same games. You can play the game of Monopoly, or you can go and play the real game of Monopoly in the share market. It makes no difference. It is the same game, just played on a bigger scale. Once you understand it, that this is the root of your childishness, the outgoing mind. Small children start reaching for the moon, and even the biggest scientists are trying to reach to the moon. They have reached. There is not much difference. Reaching outside, you may reach to other stars, but you will remain childish. Even if you reach to the moon, what you are going to do there? You will be the same, with the same rubbish in your head, with all the holy cow dung that you go on carrying in your heart. You will be standing on the moon. There will be no difference at all. You can be a poor man, you can be very rich. You can be absolutely anonymous, you can be world famous. It makes no difference at all. Unless the mind takes a turn and starts moving inwards. Unless mind takes a totally new dimension and becomes meditation. Meditation is mind turning towards its own source. Meditation makes you mature. Meditation makes you really a grown up. Growing in age is not really becoming a grown up. Because I see people 80 years old and still playing games, ugly games of power politics. Even at the age of 82, 83, 84, The sleep seems to be so deep. When they are going to awaken, when they will think of the inner worlds, and death will take all that you have accumulated, your power, your money, your prestige. Nothing will be left, not even a trace. Your whole life will be nullified. Death will come and destroy all that you have made. Death will come and prove that all your palaces were nothing but palaces made of playing cards. Maturity is to know something in you which is deathless, to know something in you which will transcend death. That is meditation. Mind knows the world, meditation knows God. Mind is a way to understand the object, meditation is a way to understand the subject. Mind is a concern with the contents, and meditation is a concern with the consciousness. Mind becomes obsessed with the clouds, and meditation searches for the sky. Clouds come and go, sky remains, abides. Search for the inner sky. And if you have found it, then you will never die. The body will die, the mind will die, but you will never die. And to know it is to know life. What you call life is not real life, because it is going to die. Only a meditator knows what life is, because he has reached to the very source of eternity.
In the second selection from Osho's talks on meditation, Osho is asked, "What is the difference between prayer and meditation?"
Lot of difference, great difference. In fact, they are absolutely different things. Their movement is in different directions. There are two types of religions in the world: prayer-oriented religions and meditation-oriented religions. Christianity, Judaism, Mohammedanism, Hinduism, these are prayer-oriented religions. Jainism, Buddhism, Taoism, these are meditation-oriented religions. For a prayer-oriented religion, the concept of a personal God is needed to relate to. For meditation-oriented religions, God is a useless hypothesis. It can be discarded easily into the dustbin. It is not needed. Buddha could attain without any belief in God. Taoist Lao Tzu never mentions the word God. Never.
There must be very great difference. Try to understand it. Prayer is a dialogue between two persons, God and you. You are talking to God. It is a dialogue. It is not a silence. Words continue. You are not talking to another man, but you are talking to another being. But that being is also imagined in the image of man. It is said in the Bible, God created man in his own image. But the reality seems to be just the opposite. Man created God in his own image. You have an imaginary conception of a person there somewhere. You talk. You confess your sins. You ask his forgiveness. You pray. Good. Good for the heart. Helps a little bit. You feel more unburdened. You feel light. Maybe there is a God or not, that is not the point. But believing there is a God, you can unburden yourself. You can surrender yourself. It becomes easier for you. The hypothesis is helpful. But in Christianity, in Judaism, Mohammedanism, nothing exists like moksha. There is a heaven and hell. Hell for those who have never been related to God in any way. Rather were working against him, against his wishes, committing sins. And heaven for those who prayed, who worked for him according to his wishes. But there is nothing like moksha, absolute freedom. Because even in heaven, the God will be the ruler. And he is not a democrat. He is absolutely dictatorial. Because there is nobody on top of him. And he is the creator. He can uncreate, he can create, he can do whatsoever he wants to do. And he seems to be a little whimsical. He forgives sinners. Then the opposite must be happening also. That people who are virtuous but never prayed must be suffering in hell. Because people who were not virtuous but prayed are enjoying beautiful women and wine and good things in heaven. Seems to be a little whimsical. It seems that man has created the hypothesis as a consolation. It seems the whole phenomena of God is out of fear, not out of knowing, out of guilt, out of the misery man is, not out of understanding. Meditation is not a dialogue, it is silence. There is nobody to relate to talk to. For a meditator, prayer is foolish. What are you doing? To whom you are talking? Just the other day, I was reading a book, a woman writing letters to God. Vivek looked at it and started laughing. She said, "What foolishness? Letters written to God." But that is the mind of prayer. I told you there are three layers of your being. First, where you are just reason. In reason, Dialogue is not possible. It is a debate. Always a fight. Then second layer of love. Dialogue is possible. And then the third layer of being. Dialogue again is impossible because there is nobody else. You alone exist in your crystal purity. Absolute silence. The Bible says in the beginning there was word. It starts from the word. Buddha cannot say that. He cannot agree with that. In the beginning was silence. And in the end also there will be silence. Meditation is silence. It is not a dialogue. People who are reason-oriented, head-oriented, they become, if they are interested in religion, they become theologians. They write theories about God. They talk about God. If they are not religious, they become anti-religious, they become philosophers, atheists, agnostics. Then the second layer of your being, love, heart. If a man is religious, love becomes prayer. If the man is not religious, then love becomes poetry, art, painting, music. Then the third layer, the deepest core, beyond which nothing exists, is being. Absolute silence and absolute aloneness.